How many know that the Lord is here with us here this day? Amen. Beautiful, beautiful presence of the Lord here on this beautiful Sunday morning, a day that He has made for us to wake up and come and praise Him, to worship Him, and to be in the awe of His presence, knowing that He's a God that is alive through His Son Jesus, amen. And He's speaking to all of us here this morning. Whatever area you might be lacking in, whatever area you might be doing really good at, and He's trying to take you even to another level. Wherever you're at, the Lord is so good to minister to us as His children, amen. He's very precise when you're listening for, He's real precise and giving each and every one of us, even though our needs may be different, He's able to meet all our needs here this day. And because of that, let's give Him a good clap offering. Amen. Those viewing online, let's give Him a good clap offering. We welcome you as well. Those online, those that are here, I'm excited. Amen. Let's give the Lord one more good clap offering. Worship team, great, great job. You may have your seats, and you may have your seats as well on this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm most excited because the Lord is here. Amen. Secondly, because you all are here and those viewing online as well, the in-laws are here. We all need Jesus. Amen. House after house has been getting shut to grandma. I just can't get the house. Nobody wants her money. Amen. Going with the cash deal, and it's just nobody wants her money. You know, so I said, Lord, hurry up, because they live with us. God knows what I mean by that. Grandma will get it when she gets home. But it's good to have them there at the house. Amen. Because as Grandpa says, one day I'm going to be there. And I want to make sure I get it right, do it right. So for those at the end of my life, will be able to get it right and do it right when I'm no longer able to do it for myself. Amen. And I believe we're all in that state right now. Whatever your age may be, very young, young adult, up in age, in your midlife right now. I believe all of us are needing help right now. It's just not when we get elderly and get older in life. But each and every one of us need help right now. We all need help. Each and every one of us, whether you're doing great or not doing too good right now, regardless, we all still need help. And not just any kind of help in the times that we're living in, but we need God help. We need God help, amen? And the good news is that He is here this day to help us, amen, to be successful disciples, faithful, obedient, long-suffering disciples, amen, that are able to deal with what the world is offering right now and to counter it with the presence and the goodness of our compassionate Father, amen. And if we would all be very, very honest, we would all say that we all need help right now. I don't think I need like personal help, but I want to fill the church. I want more lives to be saved. I want more people to come to the presence of the Lord, to the knowledge of Christ, to the love that He has for each and every one of us, even if we've been going the wrong way our whole life. He has a love that's greater than a girlfriend can give, a boyfriend can give, a spouse can give, an unconditional love that just goes beyond every mistake we'll ever make in life. And we're getting around that season next week, taking place, representing the death and the resurrection of Christ, that we find ourselves here this day, amen, because of a great love that loved us regardless when we weren't in the church, going the wrong way. The greatness of God the Father's plan executed through His Son has us here this day. It's not by chance or by good luck that we're here. Amen. I haven't said in a long time, but a long time ago I said it. Chava likes it, so I'll say it again. But there was a little dog that got lost in the neighborhood. Amen. And there was a little post on all the telephone posts and trees. These owners wanted that little puppy back. You know, wanted their little dog back. So the picture, it showed a dog up there. It was missing an ear. It was missing a leg. Amen. It was missing an eyeball. And the words on the description on the dogs, it says, please bring Lucky back to us. And I believe sometimes we think we're lucky and that's why we're here. And we're missing this in our life. We're missing this in our life. This and this is missing in our life. And this is in our life that shouldn't be in our life. But the main thing that I believe one could be missing here this day is Jesus and the love of Jesus. And you may say you're lucky, and I say it's God's grace and mercy why you're here, hearing my voice, sitting in the presence of God here this day. It's not by chance or luck. It is part of the designed plan of the Father that He executed through His Son on the cross for your life and my life. To not go off of a flip of a coin, might be heads, might be tails. But that we can say we are blessed people. We can say His grace and mercy saved us and what He did on the cross. We're not lucky here this day, church. Amen. It's God's grace and mercy and love that He has for your life and my life. Amen. Title of this morning's message is No Greater Love. I was in Jacksonville. We just got back, took some of the leadership. And I was speaking of, thinking of my spiritual son up there and the positioning they're in and so forth. And 2 weeks before we left, I got a verse that reminded me of him. You know, from the very beginning, he had been with us 13, 14 years before he got sent out. And it was a word the Lord gave me. And it's a word for all of us. It's a word for all of us. So once again, the title is No Greater Love. Once again, there's a lot of new people here this morning. We welcome you. And I pray that you just open your ears, stay focused, and that the person of the Holy Spirit is going to minister to you here this day. Even those that are viewing online, the presence of the Lord has already entered that room you're in right now, and the Lord is going to speak to you. Amen. In John chapter 13, I'm going to be reading very familiar portions of Scripture, and because they're so familiar, I still want you to listen to get what the Spirit of the Lord is wanting to say to your life, to my life, and through us here this day at 1 o'clock when we go to the streets, to those that are lost and bound. It's not just a word for the brothers and sisters, the saved, but for the lost and the bound. They need to be told that there's a greater love than what the enemy has to give at the street corner or in a college, wherever it might be. Amen? As we read, we're going to be reading 17 verses. If you don't have your Bible, everything, every verse being given today will be on the screens. Amen? And the Bible reads, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that His hour had come to leave this world and return to His Father, which is representing next week. Amen? He had loved His disciples during His ministry on earth for the three and a half years He was with them. Amen? Scripture records that He had loved His disciples during His ministry on earth. And now, He loved them to the very end. It was the time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus had came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand." This is the key verse, amen, that the Lord gave me for Pastor Jamie, amen. And I believe it's a key verse for all of us, because God is so great. His love for us is so great that a lot of times we don't understand it or understand what he's wanting to do in our lives and through our lives. Key verse. Jesus replied, "You don't understand now." You might not be catching it now. You're speaking to Peter, amen. "You may not understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested. "You'll never ever wash my feet," Jesus replied. At this moment, Judas has got a thought. He's betraying Jesus at this moment. At the time at the end, at his very departure, where he needed the 12, Judas has a plan to betray him. Peter's telling them no. He's protesting. Why? Because they did not understand the love of Christ, what he was doing, even though he was doing it right before them. They were missing it. "No," Peter protested, "you'll never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." Tell your neighbor, somebody dirty up in here. Tell your neighbor, "It's not me." For Jesus knew who would betray him. They totally were missing it, where they didn't even know who the betrayer was amongst the 12 of them. For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message." Last verse, verse 17. He goes on to use that word, "Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." We got to get beyond knowing things if we want to be blessed of God. A lot of people knowing what they're supposed to be doing. A lot of people here this day viewing online know the call of God upon your life. You know these things. But to be blessed and to be a blesser unto others, the Word of God says, God will bless you for doing them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. give you all the glory and all the honor. We all want to be blessed here this day, Lord. We all want to understand your love here this day, Lord. So I pray that you allow us to listen carefully here this day to your instructions so that we may be able to carry them out to be blessed. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Here in verse 1, the Bible reads that he had loved his disciples, amen, during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Amen, to the very end. Speaking to each and every one of us of two levels, two types of love. Amen. How many know that it's easier to love somebody in the beginning? It's easy to love in the beginning. She's so pretty. She's fine. Oh, he's so cute. I just got to get with him. I'm going to tell the pastor, and if he don't agree, I'm going to tell him God spoke to me, and it's prophetic, and I got to be obedient to what the Lord is telling me. It's easy to fall in love, but I believe it's easier to fall out of love. Because nobody here this day has a problem of falling in love. How many have fallen in love with more than one person? So it's easy at the beginning of loving somebody because you're crazy about them. And then you start falling out of love and you're going crazy with them. You're no longer crazy in love, but you're thinking crazy things. Because love has many levels, but here Jesus gives two levels. The first level was that he had loved his disciples on his ministry here on earth. Amen? But there was still a greater ministry that had to take place, not only through his death and resurrection, but a greater ministry that needed to take place through the lives of the disciples. If you and I were going to be here today. And the second level of love is that the Bible says, and now he loved them to the very end. Until death do us part. That's marriage vows. And too many getting divorced for very, very childish things because they never, they fall in love, but they never fall in love with Jesus. So they're not able to give an unconditional, I'll love you over and over again, no matter what you do to me, no matter how I miss it, I'm going to stay in love. I'm going to continue to grow in love with you because these are vows that are made to the Lord. And to keep those vows, you got to grow in the love of the Lord because no man, no woman will ever have the goods to put up with each other without Christ in the center of that marriage. So here Christ was not giving a show and tell love only to his disciples, but now he was willing to show his love to the very end, which represented his life on the cross for the world, not just the 12, including your life and my life. That's some big love. And that's what the world needs right now is love. And the world needs to receive love through the church, through the disciples of Christ. We're off to a good start here this morning. So there's two types of love here. And Jesus had the love that went to the very end, to the cross. And then the love of the Father did what he said he was going to do in the resurrection of his son from the tomb. That we'll be celebrating next weekend. In verse 2, the Bible tells us it was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Here, Judas was the money holder. He was trusted of the Lord. I mean, no, if somebody's going to hold the money, it's got to be somebody that's trusted. How many know somebody that you can't trust them holding money? Let's keep moving, amen? Judas did not understand the love of Jesus and the trust Jesus had in his life. And because he didn't understand this love that Jesus had for him, he was able to see it in the time of the ministry of Jesus while he was on earth. Judas was able to see it, but he couldn't see the very end of the love of Jesus that had yet not taken place, on how much Jesus really loved them. And even though Jesus had done signs, wonders, and miracles and saved all the disciples, it was still not great enough for Judas to understand that Jesus had for his life. And I believe a lot of times Jesus has delivered many here this day from this or that or her or him, money, whatever it might be, bondage, addiction. And it don't mean that automatically because the Lord has delivered you of certain things, certain areas, that you're going to understand his love. It's not a given that you're going to understand his love. Because when we look at love and a boyfriend and girlfriend setting of love, amen, we're in love, but cross the line enough times, and the love is limited. But the love of Christ here this day, it's a love to the very end for your life and my life. When we miss it, he continues to love us. He continues to embrace us. And that's why we're all here this day. I don't think we all got a 4.0 here this morning at church, because if that was the truth, every last one of us, when I say every last one of us, I mean every last one of us. This is an inside joke. If that person wants to tell you, she or he can tell you after the service. The truth is that we miss it. The Bible says we fall short daily. Does Jesus say, do it one more time? Do it one more time, and I'm leaving you. I'm done. I put up with you too much, son, my daughter. I'm done. He continues to love us. He continues to love us. I really think if all of us thought that Jesus hated us, not a one of us would be here, even your pastor. But something takes place when you enter the temple of God and the praise and the worship goes up to the Lord and the presence of the Lord comes down, and all of a sudden you feel you're aware of something great taking in your place in your life, even if you haven't been great lately. Something starts stirring you, which is the love of Christ. Judas didn't understand his love, and he deliberately, from not understanding the love that Jesus had, the plan he had for his life, he deliberately set up a plan to betray Jesus at the end. At the end. See, the enemy's not all caught up getting you at the real beginning. He's not all caught up in breaking marriages in the beginning or breaking up a boyfriend and a girlfriend. He'll let you have some fun. And my pastor always says he's in no rush. As long as he can get you at the end, it was as if you were never around, you were never here, and you never got saved. And here the enemy would come through one of the 12 at the end, not at the poor state of the life of Jesus, when he was at that time at the end to demonstrate, and no longer just speak about, but to demonstrate his love and the plan of the Father. So here Judas, not understanding his love, deliberately betrayed Jesus. Amen? Some of you sometimes deliberately go do stuff that you know is wrong. And you're coming against the plan that Christ has for your life. When you argue, when you yell, when you fight, you're hindering the plan of God that he has for your life. You're hindering what he wants to do through your life. And here, Judas, being one of the 12, did not understand the love of Jesus, the plan that he had for his life. So he deliberately betrayed Jesus. And so we hear of the betrayal of Judas, but he wasn't the only one. As we go to verse 6 and 7, it says, when Jesus came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will. Amen. Even Peter, he wasn't betraying Jesus, but even Peter that was there backing up Jesus' play, amen, at the real end, was hindering what God wanted to do through his son. And even though Peter wasn't deliberately betraying Jesus, his actions and his understanding of Christ's love was still allowing him to miss it just as much as Judas. And even though being with Jesus for 3 years, the only difference of Peter's misunderstanding and the misunderstanding of Judas was that he thought he was right. Peter thought he was right. You ain't gonna do that, Lord. He thought he was right. Amen. When Judas was the betrayer, still Peter, all 12 weren't fully understanding the love of Christ for their lives and how Christ wanted to use their lives. Jesus would say that greater things will you do, but I must leave for this to take place. And he knew that until they were empowered by the person of the Holy Spirit, that they would get it. The lights would come on. And I put here, I says, it's harder to work with someone that thinks they're right instead of someone that knows they are wrong. Because it's hard to correct somebody when they feel they're right and they're wrong, because the motive is pure within their heart, I always say, but the action is wrong. And it's easier to do a counseling session in my office where the guy or the sister backslides, does something really bad, and they're all sad in my office. I'm counseling. I say, man, Pastor, man, I messed up. I messed up, man. Yeah, whatever it is, man, I messed up. It's easy to give direction to the one that has messed up. But to give direction and insight and love to the one that feels they're right in their mess up, it's a tough one. That takes a lot of years of wisdom to counsel those types of sessions there. So here we find out Judas and even Peter, one purposely was betraying him because he didn't know the fullness of the love of Christ for his life. And Peter was backing him up. But yet, he was wrong, just as wrong as Judas was. In Leviticus chapter 22 and 23, I always thought, I've been preaching all these years, that we're only held accountable to what we know. Bible says, for he that continues to do wrong that knows right, to him it's accounted forth as sin. And I stuck to that for all these years until I came upon these two verses in Leviticus, amen, that proved me wrong, that you can be wrong, not even knowing you're wrong, and still be guilty. It's still sin. Let's go to scripture. And the Bible reads in the book of Leviticus, chapter 4, verse 22, it says, if one of Israel's leaders, we're talking about the leaders right now, if one of Israel's leaders sins by violating one of the commands of the Lord, his God, but doesn't realize it, in other words, it's, you don't even know you're wrong, you think you're right, and doesn't realize it, he is still guilty. How many have at times thought you were right? Time passed by to find out, man, I was wrong. The pastor was right. I'll use another. My dad was always wrong when he was trying to correct me and me growing up in my high school days, and dad don't know what he's talking about, man. He was a 4.0, man, and everything he told me was going to happen, happened. But he had the wisdom, amen. He had the knowledge of what I was doing was wrong, but he wasn't an example of it. Remember, to be blessed, we got to do what we know. So my dad had the right wisdom to give me, but at the time, he was a full-blown alcoholic. So he knew what to tell me, but he didn't know how to go about it. So I was left with the choice to do what he said or do what he did, and I would always do what he did. And I became much worse than he did. Because he wasn't doing it. He was just giving me the right instructions, but not living by what he was telling me. So here the Bible clearly tells us that we can be guilty of sin even when we're not up on it. Amen? And we go on to verse 23. 23 says, when he becomes aware. See, we can be missing it right now, whether we deliberately are missing it or unaware that we're missing it. The love of Christ, amen, is very vital in all of our lives to make us aware when we're going the wrong way and everybody thinks we're going the right way. We think we're going the right way. Mom and Dad thinks we're going the right way. We're in the church and we're going the wrong way. It says, when he becomes aware of his sin, he must bring as his offering a male goat with no defects. Well, that's for the leaders. Let's go to the common people. Leviticus chapter 4, 27, 28. Even for the one that is your first service, you're held accountable here this day, according to the word. And the Bible says, if any of the common people, shifting from leadership to the common people, sin by violating one of the Lord's commands, but they don't realize it, they are still guilty. I've seen a lot of young Christians milk, you know, becoming a Christian, still doing this and that. Well, Pastor, come on, man, cut me some slack. Not what the Bible says. The Bible goes on to say, when they become aware of their sin, so the Lord's not only making leadership aware of our sin, but even the common people also aware of their sin. The Bible goes on to say that they must bring as an offering for them a female goat with no defects. Amen? So here, misunderstanding God's love as leaders, as the common people in the church, you might be new. You might be new viewing online here this day. Amen? But the Bible goes on to say when they become aware of their sin, the misunderstanding of God's love and plan for your life and my life. And I put here in my notes, that's why the presence of the Lord in your life is so very, very important. Because the only way you're going to be made aware of your sins, whether you're deliberately doing them or you don't even know you're guilty, the only way you're going to be made aware of your shortcomings, the only way I'm going to be made aware of my shortcomings is by the presence of the Lord. How many mid-service, midway through the message this morning are already getting a little bit aware? The Lord is speaking to you, making you aware of certain things in your life that you might have walked in not thinking were that bad. But now the Lord is stirring you through the preaching of His Word, making you aware not only the things that you're already aware of that are wrong, but even those things that are hidden in your life. I shared with the church and I shared with you, and I always share that when I start my prayer, I say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, the knowing things. Amen. And also forgive me for the things that I don't know that I'm doing wrong. Make me aware of them and I will change them. I will stop them. That's a big prayer there. When we give our lives to the Lord, His presence made us aware of our sins. When I gave my life to the Lord at the altar in Salinas, California, Victor Alvarez there, the message went forth. I thought I was this and that and then some, walking into the church, coming out of prison. And then through the presence of the Lord, through the messenger preaching God's word, all of a sudden, What I thought was good, I already knew dope and all that stuff was wrong, dealing. But areas that I thought were good, like having 8 or 10 girlfriends, what's wrong with that? All of a sudden, in the presence of the Lord, I was made aware that these things were no longer cool. They were called sin. And even in my first day of coming to church, the love of the Father, the message, was able to cut through a man's life, a man's heart, a man's thinking that had been going the wrong way for many, many, many years. The presence of the Lord came upon my life, and I started becoming aware what needed to stop in my life beyond addiction. And the presence of the Lord is here right now. And the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's speaking to you right now. He's letting you know, this ain't cool no more. I let you get away with it for a season, but now I'm making you aware of it. If you want to continue to grow in my love, if you want to not be just a recipient, but a transmitter of my love, I need to make you aware of these things to bring them to an end, for I can deposit something new and fresh and great within your life to continue answering the call upon your life. We ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins, the salvation prayer, amen? And all of a sudden, what was fun would now be brought to the light as sin. In John 13:7, the Bible reads, Jesus replied, "You don't understand now," because for some of you, he's not making aware of certain things in your life. It's as if not you have a clean slate or a clean heart. It's the timing of the Lord. It might be next week he makes you aware of that area. It might be next month he makes you aware of that other area. But the presence of the Lord and the timing of the Lord knows exactly how to start removing the areas of sin within your life, layer by layer by layer. Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." You can keep going around the mountain in circles and doing it your way, guys. But the Lord will not advance you when he has made you aware of what needs to be brought to an end that's still being worked in your life. Obedience is the door to growing in God's love. Obedience is the door to understand God's love for your life. You will never, 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 ever, ever, ever understand the love of Jesus for your life in disobedience. You'll never, never. I don't care if you can memorize the whole Bible. You can name all the books forward and backwards. You can walk on water. You speak eloquently. You'll never, ever know the love of Christ for your life, the plan of Christ for your life in disobedience. Never! Never! It's religion. You'll get older and older. You'll be in church, but going nowhere. Because in order to get somewhere and take somebody else somewhere, as I'm doing this morning, you got to grow in love. And to grow in love is going to call for obedience. It's the door. And that door is wide open. The door of obedience is wide open. And it strikes me that men will kick a door that's closed of disobedience. When the door of obedience here this day, through God's grace and mercy, and making us aware, making us aware what is not right. And instead of walking through the door of obedience that God is offering, we're kicking down the doors of disobedience that he has locked. Because at least we know how to do that one well. But it's sin. It's sin. Jesus paid the price. Next week, we're going to be preaching about it. For the sins of the world, for your life and my life, there's no excuses. The tomb was open, the Bible says. It wasn't to let Jesus out. It was to let people see that he was no longer there, that he had risen. Jesus didn't need the stone rolled away. The disciples, Mary's needed the stone rolled away to see that he wasn't there. And too many times we're looking for these miracles to take place in our life or in a loved one's life, and we're in disobedience. We're behind the door of disobedience trying to tell our marriage, our children, about the door of obedience. In John 13:13. How bad do you want it, guys? You got to want it. You got to want God's love. Why wouldn't you want God's love? It's an agape love, an unconditional love that will never do you wrong, even when you do him wrong. It'll never do you wrong. Why would you want to come against a love that'll never come against you? And the answer is simple, because it calls for change. When I got with my wife, I had to change. At the end, I was used to being with all kinds of prostitutes. I had to change. Tell your neighbor, you got to change. I had to change. I had to change a lot of areas in my life to be able to experience the love of Christ. To be able to experience, to be a preacher of the end time gospel and the world that we're living in right now. To not only be giving a word that I know, but one that I apply within my life. And though I fall short daily, I know God has removed mountain after mountain after mountain in my life. And because he removed the mountains after mountains in my life, I know that he loves me. I know that he loves me because he removed those mountains in a very imperfect life called mine. His grace and mercy. He showed me his love over and over and over. And I became a recipient of it. That now I can become a transmitter of it. And I know to become a transmitter what it takes. And you got to do what he says. That is the man, the woman, the young adult that he's looking for to bless. To bless others. We're going to the streets today. I will be there. We're leaving at 1 o'clock. And I'm going to take this love that is so powerful that it's not just for you, but it's so powerful in breaking bondages and chains. I'm taking it to Lincoln today, to the South Side today, wherever we go, because I know the love of Christ is able to set any prisoner free, whether he's hearing the gospel in church or on some street corner on Lincoln this afternoon. I know the power of the love of Christ and what it's able to do in one's life that is not deserving of it. We're going to make aware the sinner this day that they need Jesus and that certain things got to stop taking place in their life to be able to be that recipient of the love of Christ and the transmitter of the love of Christ. You got to do them. Just go a little hill. You got to do them. Tell your neighbor, you got to do this. You got to go beyond knowing this. We got to do this. Everybody's knowing all the right moves, but not making a move. Everybody's got the plan. They got it down. It's memorized. But putting no feet, that's why Jesus was washing their feet. That carries the gospel. See, we can say this and this, do this and this, but where those feet end up is where you're at. These feet are going to be on Lincoln today. God willing, if I'm alive from here to there, these feet are going to be sharing the gospel. Verse 13 says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. But here on this day, the Bible records that Jesus removed his title of teacher and Lord. He removed his title by the washing of their feet, knowing that one of the 12 was Judas, that had already been prompted by the devil to betray him. And if that wasn't enough, then Peter comes to try to stop him. No, you're not going to do that. And here, poor Jesus, working with disciples to the very end. To the very end. I'm here to work with people that are just coming to Christ, but man, I want some that are able to go to the end. I want some to the very end commitment in this church. And that's what Christ wants. To the very end commitment. No matter what takes place, because things are going to take place. But it's those things that take place that are usually negative that bring us to Christ, to the love of Christ, amen, that allow us to receive the love of Christ, amen, to grow in the love of Christ. So when times get hard, I could be going cuckoo in my mind over a certain thing in the church, but in my spirit, in my heart, I know he loves me. Nobody's going to remove that truth. No situation that takes place in the church is going to remove the truth that Jesus loves me. Can't do it. Can't do it. Matter of fact, the more you attack me, the more I know how much Jesus loves me. Because it's hard times. I want to be loved in the hard times. Amen. I want to be able to feel his love when I'm mostly needed and going through it. I want to feel, man, he still loves me, man. I'm in prayer, man. He still loves me. I sit down with the Lord, he still loves me. Now, right now, I'm a very shaken pastor. Ask me why. Because my prayer spot in my house has been shaken. It's like the nest is being shaken, amen. My in-laws come into the kitchen, make their coffee, and they go, shh, shh. And the coffee maker starts boiling, and this. The bread is taken out, butter. Yeah, I'm talking about you, George. And all this taking place, and shh. And I'm there, ba 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 ra ba 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 ba. This ain't gonna work, ba ta ra ba 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 ba. I'm used to being here by myself with the worship music. So my nest is being shaken. I'm gonna have to go to the new office I got there. Amen. You've been telling me, Pastor Philippe, been telling me a long, Pastor, man, you got a nice place there. Go use it, man. But I'm so used to getting with Jesus in that chair. I'm just used to that spot. That spot has worked. Why try to fix something that ain't broken? But the in-laws, God's using my in-laws, amen, to shake the spot, to find another spot with Jesus. I wonder, will he be with me in my new office that's out there? Will he be with me? I think he will. I think he will. See, some of you got to find a spot to spend time with the Lord. You got to find a spot. It's easy to find the spot to do what's wrong. Can you find a spot to do what's right? You need to find a spot to do what's right. Find a spot to hang out with people that are right. I still love the sinner. I'm going to prove that today by going to the streets. But I ain't going to hang out with homegirl there under the bridge watching her smoke crack and drink. I ain't doing that. Here Jesus humbled himself. He humbled himself. And I believe here, I put here, there was just some things I couldn't understand in the beginning of the things of the Lord. I was just in obedience with no understanding. I would say you can be obedient without the understanding. It's a heavy revelation. Learn it. So I was just obedient without understanding. And because I was obedient, and I was doing it, God slowly but surely started giving me understanding to his love. It came by the way of doing, and not just knowing things, but doing things in Christ. Doing things with a joyful heart, a good heart. And even though I didn't want to do it, and it was changing my life, though. Doing things, even when you don't want to do it, is how you're going to be blessed of the Lord. There was things that I couldn't understand. So how did the Lord bring understanding? How did he bring it to Jesus? Through the disciples. How did he bring it to me? Through you guys. Mis ovejas, tuercas, sin orejas. He brought me some messed up sheep. Came in looking like billy goats. Knowing nothing. Rubbing me wrong every day, every minute of the day. I couldn't understand God's love, so he sent me some messed up people. As I was at one time. And the only way I was able to come to the knowledge of Christ's love for my life was by loving others in the doing. In the doing. Smiling when I didn't want to smile. Hugging when I didn't want to hug. But I want to be a pastor that is able to love under pressure. I want to be a husband to my wife. She's going to say, don't TMI right now. I'm not love. I want to be a husband to my wife that can love her even under pressure. And the husband say, oh, you, Ron, you're brave. Was that you, Ron? That was a trick. And the women say, amen. You see, they're bolder than we are. They're not afraid. Ron, Michelle, get with you later, man. He was the only one, Michelle, that said, amen. They're the marriage teachers of the church. I'll help you if you need help, Michelle. I hold them, you kick them, or I hold them, I kick them, or something like that. Yeah. I want to be able to love under pressure. Too many people can only love out of pressure. In the world that we live in, baby, you better learn how to love under pressure. And the only way you can get that is growing in the love of Christ. It's the only way. Jesus says, okay, I've shown you guys how to do stuff in ministry three and a half years, but now I'm going to show you how much I really love you. Under pressure. Ooh, that's another message right there. Can you love under pressure? Can you love what, since somebody tells you what time it is, whether they're right or wrong, can you still love the man, love the woman, be willing to work with them because we're a team here? Can you love? Can you love in the hard times? Or can you only love when everything's going your way? Because, my friend, that is not love. That is good luck. I'll give that one towards good luck. But that don't come around much. The Lord is looking for a church that can love under pressure as he did. He was an example of it. In John 13, 2, 3, this is why you can love under pressure people. I'm skipping some. The Bible says it was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Okay, Jesus knows this is taking place. He's getting ready to show him his love. Verse 3 says, Jesus knew he was up on game. Amen? Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, including Judas and Peter on this day. Over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. He had authority to know, yeah, I'm going to be taken out, but I'm going to be taken up. He had a truth in his life, a knowledge of his life of his Father, that no matter what went wrong, he was still going back to the Father. In other words, Jesus knew that Judas couldn't hurt him. And because he knew Judas couldn't hurt him or stop him, he washed his feet also. Jesus knew that Judas couldn't hurt him, but just lead him to the greater love. See, there's times that God will use some messed up people to get you to love with the greater love. To be able to love to the very end and not just be able to love in the beginning, but at the very end as well, and even greater at the end. Your love should get greater and greater, not weaker and weaker in Christ. And here, Jesus knew that Judas couldn't hurt him. He knew that he couldn't hurt him. All he knew is that, Judas, you're just going to make my love that much greater. Where are them dirty feet of yours? Where are they at? I need to wash your feet. See, we got to grow to the place to love people that are not very lovable. Pastor, I tried everything. She is not going to change. That's it. Pastor, I'm so done with him. That's it. That's it. Oh, I know I said this before. That is it. Did Christ not love us? The Bible says when we were powerless, ungodly people, sinners, the Bible says, at just the right time, at our worst time, his right time, he loved us to the end to be able to experience his love. At our worst time, the right time, somehow or another we find ourselves here. It's not good luck. And what Jesus couldn't understand in the garden, amen, he was in the garden, he was full man, he was, can we pass this cup? Jesus was finding it hard to understand also, not just Judas and Peter, but Jesus himself in the garden at the end, his time had come, was finding it hard to understand in carrying out the plan of the Father. He couldn't see how far that love was going to go until he walked through the door of obedience. Not my will, but thy will be done. We fast forward. He's on the cross now. He's lifted up. He's lifted up on the cross where what Jesus couldn't understand in the garden, he was now able to see hanging on the cross. I put here, there's just some things you can't see or do out of obedience. There's just some things you'll never be able to see what the Lord wants to show you. There's just some things you'll never do what the Lord wants you to do in the act of obedience, disobedience. It's got to be obedience. Jesus himself would have never saw what he saw if his life wouldn't have been lifted up on the cross there of Calvary. There's just sometimes you can't see or do out of obedience. He would say, scriptures ask, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Remember? They thought they were right, but they were wrong. He was making them aware. The soldier became aware that this is the Messiah, the Son of God. He was made aware at the cross. The next scripture saying, for the joy set before him. All of a sudden, from the view of the cross, he was now able to understand the love and the purpose of the Father, but he had to be in obedience to get that perspective and showing his love to the very end. There's just some perspectives you'll never get in disobedience. You'll get perspective, but from the view of what the enemy has for your life and the false promises he has for your life. And I believe, the question here this day, do you really know how much Jesus loves you? And they go with simple answers and say, yes, I know he loves me. I would have to disagree. Because scripture says if we love him, we will follow his commands. Do you really know how much Jesus loves you? I believe God is wanting to show us this morning what we haven't been able to understand up to this time, as the worship team kindly please makes their way forward. I believe God is wanting to show us this morning what we haven't been able to understand when it comes to the things of the Lord. Why we got to do that. Why we got to do that? Why we got to do that? Give me verse 7. Verse 7, please. Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, But someday you will. Next weekend coming around, go to John 15:13, please. The Bible reads, there is no greater love. That was the title of the message. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. No greater love. I ain't doing this for my house. But as I do unto the Lord and you guys, the Lord takes care of my house. Even with all the in-laws there, all the jokes they make about in-laws, I don't see where those jokes come from. I just don't understand it. At least not all of it. Amen. What is the Lord bringing to the light right now within your life? I'm going to open up the altars, and maybe, I know there's more than one area, but maybe just one area that you're being made aware of right now. You know, man, this has to stop, man. I know God does not honor this. If I'm going to grow and know how much He really, really loves me, this area has got to stop as we stand.